And our sermon text for us this day on this Palm Sunday comes from the Gospel of John chapter 12, beginning with these words. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you live long enough and you gain enough friends, you'll find out eventually things that you don't really know about them. And in some cases, you'll find out you knew absolutely nothing about them. Your perception of them was completely wrong because you didn't really dig into finding out who they were. A little fun. Let's pretend you know somebody who is meek, kind of weak, kind of scholarly, but not really into confrontation, works hard, is a good person, only to find out that your friend Clark actually is Superman. He's actually a superhero. He's actually somebody that will stand up for what is right and help those in times of trouble. How about if you know somebody who's rich, they got a beautiful big house, they have a successful career, they go about their work, they do some charity work here and there, they do some nice things, you've been friends with them for a while, only to find out your friend Bruce and his buddy Bert are actually Batman and Robin, who go about helping out those who are in trouble and hurting. You've never seen the other side of them. You didn't really know the full person. You only knew one side of them. And once you find out these things about somebody, you wonder, what a strange friend that didn't share all of this information with me. Unlike our story today, the events of this wondrous week, a week that I call a week of chaos, of love, of pain, of suffering, of seeing God's love for you and me in complete action this entire week. A week filled with evil versus good. It just seems like so much is going on. And how are we going to get to find out who Jesus truly is? When we hear this story of Jesus riding in on a donkey, this king that these people are yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Now, I'm going to try this with the adults and see if you guys are awake. I'm going to say, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," and we're going to proclaim the same. "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest."
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
This is what those first people were yelling to Jesus, "Lord, save." And it's not hard to understand why they were asking this question and asking for this request. They had just heard how Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And this king is who they want. They want somebody who is victorious. After all, Jesus rose his friend from the dead. If you can do that, you can do what we want, can't you, Jesus? We want you to set us free from this Roman oppression. We want you to let us know that you care as much about us as you do Lazarus. And yet today, this day as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover meal, we hear so much about God's love and who Jesus truly is. Because it takes you back, at least those first people who studied Scripture, it took them back to when God sent somebody named Moses to free the people. So God sends this man named Moses to free them. And after all those plagues and finally the final one, after all the firstborns were killed and died, Pharaoh finally said, "Take these people, get them out of here. I can't take any more of this. Go, you're free." But only after they had put blood on the doorpost that protected them. These people found that God protected them. And it takes them also back to a time another king rode in on his ceremonial day on a donkey. Anyone remember who that was? Solomon after his father, King David. Solomon rode in on a donkey in peace. So we find Jesus now coming into town the same way. Not as this warrior king like they want. Not as a king with a battle tank or a Hummer or a white stallion or whatever you guys want to picture Jesus as your king coming in on. He comes in on this donkey. And if you go to Luke chapter 22, you learn that Luke said that it was an unbroken donkey. It had never been sat on. Now, you and I, the little bit we know about donkeys, we think they're just stubborn. We think that they're hard to get to do anything. Well, honestly, it's not that they're stubborn, especially an unbroken one. It's just they're afraid. They're timid. If somebody hadn't taken the time to gain their trust so that you can climb up on their back, sure, they're going to throw you off. It's not that they're timid, it's just that they're fearful. And yet, we find this one, unbroken, and you find Jesus riding into town on him. And for just a few moments, I want to take you to Psalm 148. 148 tells us that the whole heavens and earth praise God. All the creatures of this earth, all of God's creation celebrate before God. They praise God. And here we have this lowly animal putting its trust in Jesus, galloping him into town. And for just a brief moment, it's almost like all of heaven and all of earth are rejoicing that their God is coming to them. Even in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. It doesn't say all of mankind. It says all of heaven and earth. That's all creation, all of nature. God's animals and us, the earth and everything in it. And it's almost like for this very brief few seconds, all of God's creation is celebrating, is rejoicing as the people are yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It's almost like for a second, all of nature is at peace. But for you and me who know the rest of the story, this is far from being everybody rejoicing and celebrating. Because we know behind the scenes, the Pharisees are plotting. They're plotting Jesus' death to get rid of this guy. This God-man who came to earth, they're tired of him. And you're starting to see the evil continue to work as Jesus, the good, coming into town. As Jesus carries you and me towards the cross with him. As we walk with him, we see him go to the temple this week. And he flips over the tables. And he carries us into the upper room with him. And he takes us into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the whole time as he's there during this week, it's almost like we can hear the soldiers, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, marching. And you can hear their footsteps clomping, stomping on the ground. As Jesus takes you to the Garden of Gethsemane, we can almost see Peter. See, we're all familiar with it. We've heard this story. We've walked with Jesus on this dusty road where those soldiers are marching. I can hear it. The evil wanting to get rid of Jesus. And he takes you to the garden, and I can almost see Peter striking with a sword and cutting off that ear of that soldier. We can hear the people, the Sanhedrin, as they gathered, calling Jesus all kind of names and spitting on him and beating him and trying him unfairly. We know the story. We hear it. We know it. I can also picture Peter, this big, burly man who thinks he's so tough and so smart, kind of like us, right? Afraid, petrified, terrified, not of the Pharisees or a council or a war or a king. He's terrified from what we hear in Luke, a young servant girl who says, "You were with him." And she points her finger and says, "You were with him." And Peter says, "No, I don't know the man." And again she says, "You were with that man." And Peter, not twice, but three times, denies him. He's terrified, he's petrified, not of a war or a king, but of a little girl making a true statement. And then the rooster crows. And I should check with Debbie on this, but I'm sure she'll correct me after service if I'm wrong. But we think of a rooster just like we do those donkeys. But this roosters don't just crow in the morning at dawn like we think. We all have that in our mind, don't we? That God put in this rooster's head that even in the time changes, at just before dawn, these roosters are going to crow. But the truth is, roosters are territorial. They're protective. And if danger comes, and it is apparent that evil is going to hurt them, he'll crow. And here we find another animal of God's creation bowing down just like the earth, rejoicing, just like we heard, if you weren't there to proclaim and praise God, the stones would. Well, so does God's animals. They proclaim his glory. And this rooster knew there was danger here. And it crowed at a time at 2:30 in the morning. Do yours crow at 2:30 in the morning? Well, then you're taking good care of them. Thank you for taking care of them. Just remember, my favorite fast food is Kentucky Fried Chicken. So don't invite me over. But we find God's creation calling out and praising God. And then on Good Friday, nature again. When Jesus is hanging on that cross, broken and beaten and bloodied for you and for me. What happened when he took his last breath? Nature cried out and turned black. All of God's creation gives praise and honor to God. Whether we see it or hear it, it does. And yet, you and I, the crown jewel of God's creation, because remember, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he knew his time was short, 5 days to be exact. And as we continue with him this week, we will find that all of creation will praise God, will sing out his praises, and the earth will groan as Jesus dies on that cross. Everyone and everything except for you and me, his crown jewel. See, God breathed life into you and me. He gave us his unending love by giving us an eternal soul to spend eternity with him. And yet, what did we do? Unlike the donkey who put his trust in Jesus, and unlike that rooster who gave a crow out when times were in trouble, you and I scatter, just like those first disciples did. But you know what you and I did? We nailed Jesus to a tree. We nailed Jesus to a cross.